Good morning and welcome to On Fire Radio, brought to you by Catskill Mountain Christian Center, a full gospel family church and Christian academy located at 629 Main Street in beautiful Margaretville, New York. What a great day to go to church. If you don't have a church, come on over to Catskill Mountain Christian Center. We would love for you to be our guest this morning. That's Catskill Mountain Christian Center this morning at 10 o'clock. If you'd like more information about On Fire Radio or Catskill Mountain Christian Center, give us a call at 845-586-4848. I'm Renard Bartow, and I'd like to invite you to join us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you On Fire Radio. Now let's go to Pastor Bob Engelhart with today's message.
Revelation chapter 4. That sounds familiar. It's because I've been opening with this scripture for about the past 2 months. So I'm going to get it into you one way or another. Your friends are all going to think you're smart because you're going to say, yeah, remember Revelation chapter 4 says? And you're going to say, wow, you know the Bible really well. No, this pastor won't stop reading it at church. I'm just going to read the entire chapter. After these things, I looked, and behold, a door standing open in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was like a trumpet speaking with me, saying, come up here, and I will show you things which must take place after this. Immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne set in heaven, and one sat upon the throne, and he who sat there was like jasper and a sardis stone in appearance. And there was a rainbow around the throne in the appearance like an emerald. Around the throne were 24 thrones, and on the thrones I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white robes. They had crowns of gold on their heads. And from the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices. Seven lamps of fire were burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. Before the throne there was a sea of glass like crystal. And in the midst of the throne and around the throne were four living creatures full of eyes in the front and in back. First living creature was like a lion, the second living creature like a calf, the third living creature had a face of a man, and the fourth living creature was like a flying eagle. The four living creatures, each having six wings, were full of eyes around and within. They do not rest day or night, saying, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. And whenever the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to him who sits on the throne, who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him who sits on the throne and worship him who lives forever and ever and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, you are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they exist and were created. Makes me so happy. I started this series because of reading through this scripture and noticing that the main, what poured spontaneously from the elders' mouths when they fall down, they cast their crown, so significant. The crowns of gold, which represent wealth, represent identity, represent ego, represent power, represent position, represent everything that you have in this world, represent everything that makes you feel good about you, represents every bit of power that you possess as a human being, casting those crowns before the throne, saying, I'm not going to wear a crown anymore because there's somebody up there who has a crown on who doesn't need any other crowned persons around him. And I'm going to cast all my wealth. The New Testament, you see what they did? As soon as they caught a hold of God, the first move of the Holy Spirit was identified by people selling everything they had and putting it at the feet of the apostles. I mean, that was the casting of crowns. That's what they did. They cast their crowns. And that comes by revelation. And the main revelation that these elders had, you are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. Why? Why are you worthy to receive glory and honor and power? Because God is big. Because God is good. Because God is merciful. No. For you have created all things. What's the revelation? You've created all things, and by your will they exist and were created. There is nothing not connected to God in the universe. There is nothing, there is no sacred life and secular life. There is nothing not connected to God in the universe. You created all things, by your will they exist and were created. That's powerful, because our Western mind is materialist. We are essentially, we have to struggle to not be deists. You know what a deist is? Deist believes that God exists, but he's somewhere beyond the clouds. And he looks and probably is going to judge you one day, but he really doesn't have anything to do with this planet down here. Wrong. You created all things, and by your will they exist and were created. God is involved in everything. Every blade of grass. Jesus said he had the hairs on your head are numbered. The hairs on your head are numbered. There's a number of 4,972 hair on your head documented in the heavens. That's in God's working knowledge as he exists in the universe. If I wasn't afraid of him, I'd say we were going to have a chat about that one day. But I'm scared. I'm okay. You know, bald is good, God. All right. You created all things, and by your will they exist and were created. You created all things, and by your will they exist and were created. You created all things, and by your will they exist and were created. There's nothing that God did not create. There's nothing that's not under his power. And Jesus says, we're going to get to it, if I have time, we'll get to it, where Jesus says, all authority has been given to me, both in heaven and on earth. Go you, therefore, and make disciples of all nations. So all of that power, all of God's favor, all of God's influence is passed over to the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, comes through our King. We have so much power. The Bible says in the end times there'd be a people who would have a form of godliness but would deny the power thereof. So form of godliness with no God power. Human power, which is formidable, frankly, human power, but not God power. Because when God power enters the circumstances, things change. Things change. Human power, it is formidable. I mean, really, humans are strong, they're powerful. But God power, when that comes in, then the end results exceeds the amount of energy put into it to get it there. That's what we call grace. That's what we call God power. It actually becomes more successful than what you invested in it. Takes off on its own and it flies without you having to pedal. Right? That's when God is in it. God's power sings hymns after being beaten, thrown into a jail cell in the innermost prison. The reaction of one under God power is to sing hymns. The reaction of a person under human power is, get me a lawyer. Quick, get me a lawyer. Whine, complain, this is injustice, this is wrong. Yeah? So the question is, therefore, as we see this picture of Revelation, the question has to be, at some point, we have to ask ourselves, and I think maybe this is the basic human question of all, what are we for? What are we for? Somebody said this, I read recently, if I have a watch and it keeps time well, I say it's a good watch. Because the function of a watch, what a watch is for, is telling time. So if it tells time well, I have a good watch. However, if I throw my watch at a cat and miss it, I can't say it's not a good watch, because that's not what it's for. Right? Animal lovers are hating me now. How would you ever do that? But the point is, that's not what a watch is for. What are we for? What are we for? What does the Bible say we're for? What does God say we're for? We're going to look at that. Start in Genesis 1, because that's the first place for, where you see man is created, right? So you get an idea, Genesis 1, what man is for. From 26 through 28 of Genesis 1, then God said, let us make man in our image. So one thing God is for, or one thing man is for, is to somehow emulate God. If we're made in his image, somehow we're supposed to be like him, and somehow we're supposed to be related to him. So one of the things that man is for is to be in the image and likeness of God. You understand, all things are created by him. Nothing exists without his will. And he created you not for becoming a butcher, baker, or candlestick maker, although that may be what you do. That may be part of what you do. What are you for? Number one is to be in a relationship with God. That's what you're for. You're for a relationship with God. You're for a relationship with God because you're made in his image and his likeness. So one thing that we're for is to be in a relationship with God. It said, in our image according to our likeness, let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image, in the image of God he created them, male and female he created them. And then God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth, subdue it, have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over every living thing that moves on the earth. So what is man for? We're for having dominion. Cultivating a wild earth. Cultivating a wild earth. What is Catskill Mountain Christian Center for? Catskill Mountain Christian Center is to expand the footprint of the influence of Jesus Christ in this part of Delaware County in this generation. In another generation, we won't be here. In 100 years before us, we weren't here. We are here during this short amount of time. And what we are for is to subdue the earth. The way we do that in the New Testament is by preaching the gospel, by seeing people's wild souls cultivated, and expanding the footprint of the kingdom. So we're to expand the garden, because now God's going to put Adam in a garden, and expanding out from the garden is taking, subduing the rest of it. Now, am I a dominion theology? No, I want Jesus to come back now. And we don't have to take over anything. But meanwhile, before he comes, we should be about the business of expanding his influence. You see, there was a season in the evangelical church where all evangelism was motivated by the imminent return of Jesus Christ. And people were told to come to church every time the doors are open. Be in church, be in church, be in church. Because we're waiting for Jesus. We don't know if he's going to come today or tomorrow. Now, that's true. But what they did was they stopped subduing the earth and they drew everyone into buildings. That a Christian life has to do with me sitting and listening to you give sermons. That's not a Christian life. Christianity is not a spectator sport. Christianity is not a spectator sport. It's raising up subduers. It's raising up people who will go out and will expand God's kingdom. Jesus, the gospel. You know, I will tell you, I'm a political guy too. I have political views like we're supposed to as Americans. We have a right to as Americans. We should as Americans. But I'm tell you something, that's not what I'm for. That's not what I'm for. What I'm for is what God told Adam and what you'll see Jesus told his disciples. That's what I'm for. That's what I function for. And I find out when I adopt his agenda, then he enhances and specializes my work within his agenda. And that could be butcher, baker, candlestick maker, preacher, doctor, lawyer, politician, all of the above. They're all equal ministries. Yeah? So the three things that I narrowed it down to were expand the garden. Our job is to expand the garden, to cultivate people of God's kingdom throughout the earth. Where God's kingdom comes, God's justice flows. And that's what saves nations. That's what transforms nations. God's justice, God's Old Testament justice flowing like a river. To multiply, and that's evangelism, isn't it? That's how we get people saved. We multiply. Your neighbor, the guy, my old friend Bob, never asked me to church. What? Are you kidding me? You should be driving your neighbors crazy. You should drive them crazy. You know what? Because eternity awaits us. And fellowship with God. Mark 16, 14 to 16 says, later he appeared to the 11. This is after Jesus is resurrected. As they sat at the table, and he rebuked their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they did not believe those who had seen him after he had risen. And he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. He who does not believe will be condemned. You know, that's exactly what God told Adam in the garden. It's really expanding the kingdom. It's the same job. It's the same work. Go into all the world and expand God's kingdom. How do we cultivate a wild world? By getting people saved. And then making obedient disciples out of them. Matthew 28, Jesus came and spoke to them saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. How much authority? How much? How much? How much? How much? All authority. Over the good, the bad, and the ugly. All authority has been given to me, both on in heaven, all the whole animated, populated spiritual realm that exists around us, and everything on earth. There ain't no President Obama, ain't no President Trump, ain't no anybody who can defy the living God. All authority has been given to me, both in heaven and on earth. And if God's people will pray, humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways, then we'll hear from heaven and he'll heal our land. That's what the Bible says, yes? So he rebuked their unbelief and hardness of heart. You know, unbelief is a challenge du jour, you know, because we are raised in an educational system that's based on unbelief. It's based on unbelief as a bedrock. You can't talk about God here. You leave God outside. You don't need God in school. You've got your work life, and now you've got your God life. Go ahead, do God in your little church. Have fun. Pat you on the head. Have fun. Yeah, you got freedom of religion. Just don't bring them into a school. Don't bring them into a courthouse. Don't bring them into any public venue. God is a higher authority. You have to understand, God's authority negates any human authority. I mean, so, you know, what do you think? I think that, like Peter and John said, you have to decide whether it's better to obey God or man. As for us, we're going to obey God. Because he's the one who defines the eternity that all of us will eventually pass into. Yeah? Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them, listen to this, teaching them to observe all the things I have commanded you. Teaching them to observe all the things that I have commanded you. That sounds like subdue, doesn't it? Subdue. Teaching them to observe all the things I have commanded you. Because God's trying to disciple us. The Lord is trying to cause us to buy in, completely to buy in. You know, say, Jesus said, you don't put me under the law. You know, okay, you're just going to obey the words of Jesus. Bless your heart. pick up your cross every day and follow him, the instrument of your own death. Consider yourself to be dead, crucified every day. Because you know what dead people don't do? Dead people don't complain. Dead people are not disobedient. Dead people do not stir up mischief and strife. Dead people don't get their feelings hurt. Pick up your cross every day. Let's follow the words of Jesus. Bless your heart. So Paul and Silas are in that jail cell, right? They've been beaten with rods. Why are they not mad? Why are they not mad? How come they're not mad? They cast the demon out of the woman with a spirit of divination. That's a good day for your ministry, huh? No, it's not. You're in the darkest, deepest dungeon with shackles. In stocks, I think the Bible says. They're in stocks. And their response is to sing. You see, you can't offend a dead person. And if I'm representing Jesus, that's a happy day for me because I get to enter into the sufferings of Christ. Oh, happy day. We really got him this time. Because I know every time someone strikes me, that's an opportunity for God's glory to flow through me. We have our towers and walls built around us so nobody can strike us. That's why God's glory doesn't flow through us. But it's have something you love ripped away from you and feel the woundedness of that and then let the glory of God flow. You can run to the medicine cabinet, medicate, make the pain go away for a little while, or you can be dead. Yeah, not dead to your feelings because the hurt still hurts. But those wounds open up a pathway for the glory of God to flow. I don't want wounds. I'm not looking for wounds. I'm not, you know, not stupid. Right? You don't hurt yourself so you get wounds or the glory of God. But if you're living life as a human being, wounds come. Though they may tarry, yet they will come. Woundedness happens. No matter how much money you have, you cannot insulate yourself from wounds. But you can medicate yourself and not feel the pain associated with them. And that's not a good thing, because the pain is what gives birth to the grace. Are you okay? So, what's our purpose? Our purpose at Catskill Mountain Christian Center is to expand Jesus in this region. To expand Jesus in this region. To see more churches come up and flourish. I'd like to see Jesus represented in our county in such a potent and powerful way that people would say of that Delaware County, oh, that's that Christian place. So many Christians, we have to think of great things to do. Too much money that we have to think of great things to do. We have to build new things and we have to create new ministries and we have to empower the gospel. Go into all the world and teach people to do everything that I commanded you. And lo, I am with you. So we expand the garden to cultivate people's souls. I was saved in 1982, I was 26 years old. Had how many kids at the time? Three kids at the time? Three of our five at the time? Knelt down on a pallet in a print shop in Glens Falls, New York, and my wife had been driving me crazy for 5 years. Because the year that we got married, she got Jesus, ruined my life. Knelt down on a pallet in a print shop in Glens Falls, New York, and said, God, if you'll give me that baptism in the Holy Spirit thing that Nancy keeps talking about, what in the world could that possibly mean? But if it's a gift from you, I would like very much to have it. Thank you very much. Signed, Bob Englehart. Something like that. It was about that religious. And bada-boom! God hit me with 220 volts of God. Of happy. Of joy. I mean, God just set like my set me on fire. And it's a simple thing. I'm a printer and the son of a printer. I'm not cultivated by 10 generations of ministers to be some kind of a highbrow, hoity-toity minister. I come right out of the life. And God gets a hold of you, you never know where you're going to end up. My deal is this: if you sign up and put yourself in His agenda, if you adopt His agenda, He'll enhance your life. If you adopt His agenda, He'll enhance your life and give you the perfect life that you were meant to live. It really is a trade-off. If you adopt His agenda as your main agenda in life, He will bless you immeasurably. And now Jesus says this in Mark 16, now this is from verse 17 onward, these signs will follow those who believe. These signs will follow those who believe. These signs will follow. These signs will follow those who believe. In my name, first of all, condition, they will cast out demons, they will speak with new tongues, they will take up serpents, they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them, they will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. It says, then after the Lord had spoken to them, he was received up into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God, and they went out, preached everywhere, the Lord working with them, confirming the word through accompanying signs. What am I for? You're for God. You're for to be in relationship with God. You're to be cultivating. You're to be spreading the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. You're to be investing yourself, involving yourself in making His name greater. And the key is obedience. The key is, it's already been spoken a couple of times, but this morning I put together, I'm a rhymer. I don't know what that means about me. I think I'm more like Dr. Seuss than anybody good. But I do have a tendency to put words together and when I'm thinking about a subject. Now, our greatest adversary in our culture is rebellion. Nobody wants to be a follower. Everybody wants to be a leader. So this is titled Rebel, Rebel. Rebel, rebel, what'd you win? Lots of noise, but tires spin. Lots of smoke, but zero fire. Lots of climbing, but no higher. Rebel, rebel, where'd you go? Always running to and fro. Always missing Jesus' rest. Always short of Jesus' best. Rebel, rebel, change your name. Obedience will win the game. Obedience will clear your eyes. Obedience will claim the prize.
Thank you for listening to this edition of On Fire Radio. If you've never made Jesus Lord and Savior of your life, will you pray with me today? Jesus, I recognize that I am a sinner. I repent from all my sin today, and I place my life in your hands. Jesus, thank you for dying on the cross for my sins. Holy Spirit, fill me with your power now. God, I thank you for your grace. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, listen, guys, if you prayed that prayer with me today, I'd encourage you to get a Bible, find a Bible-believing church, and start a prayer life. Those are three key things in a relationship with Christ. If today's message impacted you, would you consider giving to the ministry of On Fire Radio? On Fire Radio is a ministry of Catskill Mountain Christian Center and is brought to you every week for free. We broadcast on radio stations and we publish our podcasts online as well. You can give online at cmcconline.org. In Luke chapter 6, Jesus said, "Give and it will be given to you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. It will be put into your lap. For the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you." So we believe here at On Fire Radio that if you give and sow into the ministry of On Fire Radio, God will bless you back for financially supporting the work of His ministry. You can give online at cmcconline.org. Again, that website is cmcconline.org. If you would like to find out more information on Catskill Mountain Christian Center, On Fire Radio, or other ministries, you can look us up online at cmcconline.org, or you can like us on Facebook and search Catskill Mountain Christian Center. One last time, for Pastor Bob Engelhart, this is Jake Johnson signing off, saying God bless, and we'll see you in church.